a garment.
Hello?
You hear me, Mr. Ms. Glatter?
Hello, we don't hear anything.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm sorry, I was on mute. I didn't realize I was on mute. Okay, now you hear me?
Now I hear you.
Okay,
yeah,
so. Okay, Mr. Glatter, I'm not going to be here tomorrow night. So I believe that I'll call you. I'll let you know if I'm going to be here tomorrow night.
Okay,
I'll probably Rabbi Ryevsky will say this year. Possibly. I don't know for sure yet. I don't know what his schedule is. So maybe we'll see. But I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I'm going to a wedding, Mir Tashem.
Okay,
so. Have a good time. Okay, so let's start over here. Me'il. Kalil techeles, that should be completely blue. Now, what is the meal? The meal is the garment that only was worn by the Kohen Gadol, and it was worn, it was, the meal was basically a garment on top of the regular garment. You have the regular garment, you have the kesoines. Okay, a regular Kohen wore a kesoines. He wore pants and a shirt. The shirt really went all the way down to the ground. It wasn't really a shirt. It was really, it's like you see the Muslims, they wear, the Pakistanians, on the street, they wear this long garment all the way down to the floor. That's pretty much what the kesoines was. At sleeves, and it went all the way down to the floor. And underneath that, they wore pants. The pants were the undergarments. There was nothing else. There was no other garment. There was no undershirt. There was no underwear. The pants were the undergarment. And then there was this tunic, this kesoines, which covered basically their entire body. So it come out that the lower portion of their body was doubly covered. There was a michnasayim, and on top of the michnasayim, in that part of the body, was the kesoines. On top of that, they took the avnet, a belt, and they wrapped it around. The avnet was very, very long, and they wrapped it around their body, and a hat. So that was the garment of the regular kohen. The kohen gadol, on top of the kesoines, he wore a me'il. A me'il was basically it was a woolen garment. It was a heavy woolen garment. It had four corners, it seems. And it went all the way down to the bottom, to the ground. And I don't think it had sleeves, though. It does not seem that the me'il had sleeves. It was just like a massive talis katan. A massive talis katan, which went all the way down to the ground. And had no sleeves, and had a hole for him to put his head in. He put his head in the hole, basically a massively large talus cotton, which went all the way down to the ground. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyah
Bidvaroi.
Amen. So that's what the me'il was. And the me'il was perfectly blue. It was 100% wool, and it was dyed the color techeles. And the very bottom, they were pomegranates, they were bells. There were bells. There were, I think, a grand total of 72 bells on each side. If I'm not mistaken, there were 72 bells on each side, which I guess would come out to 144. Right? If there's 72 bells on each side, it would be 144 bells in total that were on the bottom of the garment. When the Kohen Gadol would walk, it would make noise. It would make noise, you would hear the bells. And that was by design, that people should hear the Kohen Gadol was moving. So it says here, Yosisas Mil Hoifod. Sorry?
Just Kohen Gadol, right?
Only the Kohen Gadol wore this. So they make the Mi'il Hoifod Kalil Techeles. So basically, the Kohen Gadol, if you look at the Kohen Gadol at this point in time, he's wearing right now three garments. The low portion of his body is covered at this moment with three garments. The Michnasayim. On top of the Michnasayim was the Kesoines. And on top of the kesoines is the ni'il. So there were basically three layers. Three layers were covering the low portion of his body. And there are a lot of interesting questions about the ni'il. Now the ni'il is pure wool, and the kesoines is pure linen. So why isn't that shatnez? Now it's not shatnez, really minatar is only when you take wool and linen and you weave it together. You know they're woven together. You stitch it together in one garment. You mix together wool and linen. However, there is a halacha that if one garment is linen and one garment is wool, and there's no way for you to remove the lower garment without first removing the upper garment, that's also considered to be shatnez. Let's say a person was wearing pants. linen pants and a wool jacket. Is that shatnez? The pashtus says it's not, because the person can remove his pants without taking off his jacket, or even if it's a shirt. If a shirt that's wool and pants that are linen, or vice versa, you can take off one independent of the other. In no garment itself is there wool linen together, and each one, even though he's wearing two garments, they're really independent one of another. But if you have a situation where one garment is trapped within another garment, then it would be shatnez. So in this case, it would be shatnez, because the kohen is wearing, the kohen gadol is wearing kesoines, a tunic, which covers his entire body. And on top of that, he's wearing the me'il. So you can't take off the kesoines unless you remove the me'il. The me'il is in the way. So when you have a situation like that where the me'il, where one garment is buried with another garment, that indeed is called shatnez. Okay, so that would be called shatnez. Okay, but the gzeres akasuf, the Torah says that's what he has to do. So the yosisa is me'il ho'efod k'lo t'chelef, let's see over here, Rashi over here says, Rashi here, this pasuk says, let's see over here, Rashi here says, Milo Eifod, Sho'efo Nosin Olav Lacha Goyra. Okay, it's now he's over here, Rashi is coming with the question, why is it called the Me'il Ho'efod? On top of the Me'il is the Eifod. Okay, so in other words, the Kohen Gadol wears eight garments. The lowest is going to be he's wearing the pants on the bottom. Then he's wearing on top of that the tunic is the ksoinis. On top of that, he's wearing the me'il. And on top of the me'il, he's wearing another garment called an ephod. An ephod pretty much is a vest. That's really what it comes out to be, kind of like a modern day vest. And it wasn't really buttoned closed, because in the center it held the choshen. So pretty much the ephod was a garment that covered the back of the Kohen Gadol, and only on the upper part of his body, and it was straps on top, and the straps on top came around his shoulders, and it folded in front of his body, and everything about it was there to support the choshen that was in the center. So you have really four layers. The nechnasayim, on top of that is the kesoines, on top of that is the me'il, and on top of that is the ephod. So Rashi is coming to explain why does it say here in this pasuk that you shall make, that's really the next pasuk. I skipped the pasuk. No, that's not that. You'll see, so you shall make a me'il ho'ephod of the ephod k'lil techeles. We're not yet up to the ephod. The ephod is the fourth garment. We're only up to the third garment, the me'il. So why are we calling it the me'il of the ephod? So Rashi says, "Es milo ephod sho ephod noson olav lacha goyra." The ephod was put on top of it as a belt. In other words, Rashi over here is telling us that this pasuk is that the ephod sort of was the clasp. It's what held everything together. Okay, the ephod, what does he touch over here? The robe of which the ephod was placed to serve the purpose of a girdle. The ephod is I'm not really sure what he means over here. Rashi says, the me'ilo ephod, sho ephod, the ephod is nosan, was put on top of it, lachagoyra, as a belt. Not really sure, we'll see more. Klil techeles, kul techeles, shein min acher maraboy. The me'il is 100% blue. Okay, now what does the targum on this pasuk say? The targum over here says, okay, targum v'sabed yos me'ilo de'efodo gemir techeles. Doesn't really say very much. Just says you should make a me'il de'efodo. Ha'efod, going back to Rashi, she ha'efod nason olav Lachayr, I think maybe we've come across here another home run, a machlokes of Rashi and Unkelus. Rashi appears to say that the ephod is the ephod, garment number four, and garment number four is going to serve as a way to close, to secure the me'il. Targum seems to say that me'ila de ephoda, a me'il that is in it of itself an ephod. Okay, it would seem there indeed there is a machlokes between Rashi and the Targum. Let me go look over here in the sefer, the Matsari, and see how he explains it in Parashas Tetzaveh. Okay, it's Perek Chofches, Pasek Lamed Aleph. Okay, what is it over here? Pasek Lamed Aleph in the Pasek Lamed Aleph. V'sabed yos m'il efoda g'mir tachla. There's no commentary. Would you believe that? No commentary. Rashi again says the mi'il is going to be, there's the mi'il, and then there is the ephod. And the ephod says, Sheho ephod. Nitan alav lacha goyra, as a belt for the mi'il. Targum is not mashm like that. It's mashm, the mi'il is the ephod. Okay, so I think over here we can suggest a chidush. Ein beit mezrash b'loi chidush. The chidush here is that machlokes Rashi and Unkelus. Is the word ephod mean the ephod, and the ephod is going to be the belt for the me'il, or no? The me'il itself will envelop the Kohen Gadol. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. V'hoya firoshoy b'seichoy, and there should be an opening inside of its top within it. Safa yel lefiv, so there should be a hem. Safa, I guess, a border. You should stitch a board around the neck area. Lefif, or its opening saviv around, maase oreg, it should be woven kefi sachra. What does it mean kefi sachra? Like a coat of, what sachra mean? I'm not sure we ask what sachra means. Yihye lo lo yikorea, it should not rip. Now everybody talaskatan, so mayor knows, you buy a talaskatan, you have a choice. What are the choices? V-neck versus a round neck. Mayor, what kind of talisman do you buy? You buy the round neck or the V-neck?
If you ever go, always the V-neck.
Okay, I also like the V-neck.
Unless it's the third choice. It's the third choice, which is a very big oval.
I never saw a third
otherwise
choice.
Otherwise, it's a small.
I always see two choices. You have it's called round neck or you have a V-neck.
Yeah, but the round neck is not like a t-shirt. You can have a round one that is very long. It's more oval.
They have a different term for it? They have a different term for it in the Judaica stores?
Okay. I don't know, but that's
every
what
time
it is. About round neck that's almost very close. It's like putting on a t-shirt, right? It has a round hole.
It has a round hole? That's very close. It's not about very, very close.
Huh?
It's not very close. You can put your head through it very easily. It's just not.
Yeah,
not
but
nice
I like one that has an oval hole. It's like a long oval hole.
I think the round is, I think when we talk about round, I think you mean the oval. I don't think they make two different, they make round versus oval.
Yeah, but they make shorter ovals and big, long ovals.
Yeah, okay, I'm not aware. It depends on the company who makes them.
Yeah, V-neck, you can have a small V-neck or a big V-neck, depending.
There are many, when you buy a telescope, there are many variables. You can get round neck, V-neck, thick tzitzis, thin tzitzis, wool or cotton, inches, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. You can have many variables. That's why today, you know, if you customize, you go and you put in an order and they customize it for you exactly what you want. All the different variables. So over here it is. Over here, the me'il is really basically a massive talus katan. That's what it is. It's a massive talus katan, which goes all the way down to the ground. And it is a round neck, not a V-neck. The pasuk says you should make a safa yel lefiv saviv. The me'il had a round neck, and the neck, it was stitched with a border, which they do today. You go by the Talis Kohen today, the Talis Kohen also has a very small border. It's also stitched with a border. and masa oreg, it's woven, whatever that means, we have to see what it means. Kifi sachar, I don't know what that means. Yelolo yi korea, Rashi. What are all the qualifications of the mi'il? Mahayak firosha piya mi'il shagavoy. Okay, the piya, the opening of mi'il on the upper side, hu pesicha space at sabar, that's where the neck is. Bis soichai kitaguma kefil kafil ligavei. Kofil le soichai. Liyosa le safa kefil osoi. For yamas oreg vuloi bemachat. So it seems like they made a cut in the center and they folded the cut over. They folded it over and they stitched it down so that it should form a thick border in the center where the Kohen Gadol would stick in his head. Kofil legave was folded legave to the inside. Kofil lesoichai, folded inside. That's what it means, bisoichai. They would cut, make an incision in the center somehow, and then they would fold it inwards and they would stitch it to keep it in that position. Now what's the masa oreg? That means the entire garment was masa oreg. What does that mean exactly? You need the art school Mishkan book. Maybe I'm going to go look at it. I might have something close to it. Kefi sachra. What is it? Lamanu shahashir yoinim shalachem p.m. kofol. Now, kefi sachri says a coat of mail. What's a coat of mail? Armor. Shahashir yoinim shal, their armor was shalachem p.m. It was doubled. I don't know what that means exactly. Lo yikot should not rip. Kidei shal yikoreh, so that it should not rip. Vakoreh oiver balabala. It should not rip. Anyone that rips the mi'il is over a loy sasei. Shazem ibinin lav shavatoyva v'chein v'lo yisach choshem v'chein lo yisui menu nemer b'vavad ya'orin. Every time it says something like lo yikorea, it doesn't just mean so that it should not rip. If you read the pasuk at face value, it sounds like the reason why you should make for itself a border is so that it should not rip. It's not giving you a command, do not rip it. No. Rashi comes along and says, "No, it's coming to teach you that if you do rip it, you are invited. That if it's giving you a law, do not rip it. And if you rip it, you'd be chayv leisase ve'akor oyve b'loy b'laf. Shazel bein alam shabatoru v'chein lo yizach choshem. Do not remove the choshen from the ephod v'chein lo yasudu l'menu by the badim shnei ba'badi aron. Let me go. Give me a sec. Let me go look at the art scroll. Cholish, I have it over here. Let me see if it has a picture. A little clarification."
All joking aside, it comes from being growing up in the house of the Rabbis.
No,
Pasha. You understand this, I thought.
It was more called the Shaini
Unbelievable.
All right, so I have over here the Chumash. I don't know if you can see it. Okay, I have over here the Chumash. Over here I have the Mi'il. Okay, let's take a look over here. The Big Day Kohen Gadol. They don't really show. They don't really show how it's made. Okay, this is not the right one. But I really need the one from the Mishkan book. But they show over here the Big Day Kohen. They show over here. They show the Mi'il. They don't really show the center. They don't really focus on this part of the meal. Now, by the way, in this book, in the art scroll edition of the Big Day Kahuna, they give the meal sleeves. In the classic tabernacle book, there are no sleeves. The meal was like a big, like I told you, a big talus scutum. It was a big talus scutum. But here in this book, they don't show it as a talus cut, they show it as a garment with sleeves. Okay, but in any event, over here, this pasuk is discussing over the center where you put your head inside. And you learn over here a couple of yesodos. Let's see what the Targum says on this pasuk. Targum Over here, let's see what he said. Targum, whoops. Targum Kulis, okay, Targum. Vihe Fum Reshe, the opening of the head, Kofi Legave, Toira Yehe Makaf Lefume, Sechor Sechor. Targum says around and around, Ovad Moche, made from Machat, Ovad Moche, the Moche means weaving, Kifum Shiryon, like the work of a shiryon, means a coat of mail, armor, which each piece overlaps the other. Yehe le lo yis bizo, it should not tear. Okay, so I don't know. We really need the Mishkan book to get a much greater appreciation of what this means. But in the meantime, let me go see what it says over here in the Ma'at Sari. In the Ma'at Sari, it says over here, Pume. He says over here a lot of chidushim over here, which I don't understand. I don't understand the depth of what he's saying. So we'll just leave it with this. We really need much more clarification over here. What is going on over here? There's obviously a lot of chidushim over here in this pasuk, but for right now, one thing we learn over here is that it says that there was the opening, the point that he's trying to make over here, vayafi reishai. He doesn't like the fact that it says the fum reisha, I don't know, besoicha kafil, it was doubled. Where does it say the word double? Where does it say the word kafil legave? Besoichai, the word besoichai, the Targum translates kafil legave, folded to the inside. Toira yihye. What's the word toira here? Toira. It means a border, a toira, a border with an aleph around it. Sechor sechor. Okay, mas oreg. Moche means woven. Kefisachra. A coat of mail, every part of the body, it's doubled. There's a piece of metal which overlaps the other piece of metal, so it's doubled. So the fact that the opening was folded inwards means that it was doubled along the edge of the neck. It was doubled over. That's what we're comparing over here. We're comparing over here to a coat of mail. Lo yi korea, you may not cut it. Okay, let's now go to the next. Now we go further to the bottom. The osisa al shulav, you shall make on the bottom of the meal, monet pomegranates. Techeles, blue, argamon purple. Telashani, red, al shulav, along the bottom. Saviv, ufamone zahav, and bells of gold, besoicham saviv. And notice over here, there's no shatness. On this garment itself, every single thing is only wool. There is no linen. On the very, very bottom, they're going to be the making of a pomegranates, these designs. We marinate, it looks like techeles is, and these are wool. Techeles, our garment, and tlashani are wool that are dyed blue, purple, and red. Along the edge, the bottom edge, saviv, all the way around. And inside these pomegranates, there were bells of gold b'soicham saviv. Rashi, what does this mean over here? Let's see over here how Rashi ties this pasuk. Rimoine agulim v'chalulim hayu kamin rimoinim v'asuyim kibeitzas tarnagoyles. These pomegranates that were attached to the bottom of the garment were round and were hollow, and they looked like pomegranates which were made like the eggs of chickens. What does that mean? I don't know. That's what it says. Upamones of bells of gold, zagin im inbolin shebesechem, bells with clappers inside. B'soichem saviv, they were on the inside. B'neihem saviv, these bells were in between the pomegranates. B'ein shnei rimayinim pa'amoyin echa davik v'tolei b'shulei ha'me'il. In between two rimayinim was one bell. Okay, it doesn't give you a number. So if you review the pasuk again, it says you should make on the bottom of the me'il rimayinei, pomegranates, which we know they were round and hollow, and they look like the beitza of a tarnagol. And in between these, and these things were made from wool of three colors, blue, purple, and red. And in between these pomegranates that looked like chicken eggs, in between each one of them was a gold bell. The bell was gold and the clapper was gold. And that was at the bottom of this garment. And it says Saviv. They were surrounded. It was surrounded on each bell was surrounded by two pomegranates. Now let's see what the Targum says. Targum here on this pasuk says, V'sabed al shifo lohi. You will shmek along the bottom edge of this garment. Rimonei pomegranates of tichla blue are givona purple. Utseva zehori, the dye of red. Al shifo lohi, along the bottom. Sechor sechor, round and about, which along the entire bottom edge, the zagin did have benehon sechar sechar, and bells of gold in between them sechar sechar. Okay, obviously there's a lot more going on. Okay, all right. Pamoin zavri. By the way, if you want to know probably the most definitive work on the Klei HaMishkan and the Bigdei Kohuna, it was published. I mean, there was one volume published about 20 years ago by a very big Talmud Chacham. I don't remember his name. I have the volume at home. Who learned in Tells, Cleveland. He put out this phenomenal, phenomenal sefer on the Klei HaMishkan. And 25 years ago, about 20 years, at least 20 years ago, it was only on Parshas Teruma. I think it was last year, or maybe 2 years ago, he put out the second volume.
Are you joking about the Zanoni?
No. Livanoni made a model on the Bayis Sheni. Nothing do
right,
Livanoni
okay.
This is a very in-depth analysis of exactly what the Mishkan, this only on the Mishkan, what the Mishkan, to go through the Pesukim with all of the Rishonim, to analyze exactly what it looked like. He has diagrams. They're not elaborate. They're very simple diagrams, but they're full of, you can see exactly what he's referring to. And he goes through all of the Rishonim with clarity, and very well written, and it's just an incredible sefer. I noticed this year, it was republished, third edition. So I don't even realize it was a second edition. Not that it makes a difference to me. I don't know. I have plenty of work on the first edition. I have it at home. But he put out last year, he put out basically the same exact thing he did for Parashas Teruma. He did for Parashas Tetzaveh, for the Big Day Kohuna. It's new. I don't have that sefer. Whatever he did for Parashas Teruma, he did recently for Parshas Tetzaveh, and for Parshas Teruma, he put out now the third edition of the Sefer. And that is certainly the place to go to gain a very good, detailed understanding of what Rashi and what the Targum and what everyone means in very great detail. When you look at these beautiful picture books, they're phenomenal. Don't get me wrong, the Tabernacle book is a classic. Okay, the Tabernacle book is an unbelievable classic, and it's done with incredible precision. And that's probably 50 years old, that book. And they still sell it. They still make it, they still sell it. And then Art Scroll came along, and they did an unbelievable work. And they actually go through every Rashi. They go through Rashi word for word, with a diagram showing you exactly what Rashi means. I have here over here the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, the Hebrew. So they have over here in the very back, they have some of the pictures. A few of them. They give you some of the pictures, the basic pictures, but they don't go through the Rashis and give you the exact details like they do in that book. They have some really incredible pictures here. But for the Bikvei Kahuna, it's a little schwach. They have a really good picture of the menorah. A really, really nice picture of the menorah. I think what we used online was even better, you should know. What we saw online, they're both very good. It was very similar. It's very similar. And they have really, really, for last week's parasha, incredible stuff. And this week's parasha, it's not as good. They don't have the same degree of detail. But in the art's called Mishkan. It's called Mishkan. It's really very, very impressive. Very impressive. And here I'm looking over here at the picture of the Pamoinim. And they show you over here these, they show you the bells and the pomegranates. They don't really show you very much. Okay, whatever it is. So all we need for now to know is Lourdes the Rashi, and that is on the Me'il, the bottom of the Me'il, there are pomegranates of three materials, Tchelis HaGemon Mevetzel HaShani, Al Shulav Saviv. Now notice this repetition. V'yasi Sa'al Shulav, the bottom. Rimonei Tchelis V'yagamon Mevetzel HaShani Al Shulav Saviv. Why does it say that? Why does it say it again? What is that all about? And why does it say the word Saviv? And then it says Ufamonei Zahav B'saicham Saviv. I have no doubt that this person from Tells who wrote a Sefer, I mean, the whole Sefer is on it. He probably goes through this in such incredible detail and explains you every single word and exactly what Rashi means. And he contrasts this with all of the Rishonim to gain a very deep appreciation of exactly what the different interpretations of what this means. And when you look at a picture book, there are a lot of picture books. Everyone, you know, they give you their opinion. They give you their opinion. Okay, now what is it over here in the Unculus? Unculus, we did it with the Unculus. Okay. One next pasuk, pa'moin zavrimoin, pa'moin zavrimoin. I'll shlei hamil. More clarification. There's going to be a pa'moin, is a bell, gold, and then is a rimoin. So l'chayre pasuk 34 is coming to explain to you pasuk 33. And don't think that the gold bells are inside the pomegranates. The gold bells are in between the pomegranates. There's a pa'moin, there's a avarimoin, pa'moin, zavarimoin, al shlem il saviv. Rashi learns, pa'moin, zavarimoin, pa'moin, zavarimoin, etzloi. You see that? One word speaks volumes near it. What does Uncle Liz say? Zagad the havarimoin, zagad havarimoin, al shipole mi ila sechar sechar. He says the word saviv, he turns the word saviv into two words, sechar sechar. Okay, let's finish up, one more pasuk to finish up the sugya. Vehoya al aron lishores. Aaron wears this garment, v'nishma koiloi, and when Aaron walks, because there are bells at the bottom, you'll hear the sound. What does Rashi say? Rashi, v'lo yomus mechlal lava tashmehein. Im yuyu loy, lo yemisa. If you'll have the bells, there won't be death. Im yikonis mechus ha'echem yikon ha'begon malolu. But if Aaron HaKohen, not only the bells, if he's missing one of these eight garments, Chayev Misa B'dei Shemayim, he will die. So he says, Lo Yomus refers to Misa B'dei Shemayim. And Rashi says a Chiddush, that this pasuk V'lo Yomus is going on all the begodim. It's not going on the bells. Targum, V'yal Aaron L'shamosha, V'yishtema Kolei B'malei L'kut Shokot Hashem U'v'mifkei. And when he goes out, V'lo Yomus. Okay, it's not really clear what is the V'lo Yomus going on. Rashi is going on the garments, not necessarily on the bells. All right, so this is the sugya. Notice it doesn't say anywhere over here if it had sleeves. In the tabernacle book, the Me'il did not have sleeves. It looked like a big talis gadol. In the art scroll picture book, they give the Me'il sleeves, wool sleeves. Doesn't say anywhere it had sleeves. Who says it had sleeves? They gave it sleeves. Certainly in that Sefer, we'll probably discuss that in great detail. So the bottom line is, what are the chidush we learned over here today? We learned over here, the first yisod we learned over here is, it says, a me'il ho'efod. What is this word doing here? The efod is a completely separate garment. Why is this word here? You shall make the me'il, period. What's the efod? So Rashi says a chiddush. Is the ephod is there to secure the mi'il. The mi'il is an open garment. The mi'il needs to be fastened tightly to the body through the ephod. That makes a lot of sense according to the tabernacle book. Because in the tabernacle book, there are no sleeves. So you need something to keep it in place. But according to the article picture book, which gives the mi'il sleeves, who needs the ephod to secure it in place? Targum seems to disagree that the ephod is not referring to the ephod, but the ephod means the mi'il itself encircles, the mi'il itself is like a belt to the body. The mi'il itself encloses the body. Oh, so maybe in Echadami has sleeves. Maybe you'll say the article is making a picture like the Targum, and the tabernacle book is making a picture like Rashi. Then we'll learn about the opening. It had a round, a round neck, and it was doubled over like sachra, a coat of mail. Now, l'chayra, this is only going on when it says masi oirek if he's sachra. ELO is only going on the neck. We ascribe an enormous amount of significance to the neck. I would say that when it says Masa Orek, Kifi Sachra is going on the entire Mi'il. But that's not what it seems. It seems like when it says over here, Masa Orek, Kifi Sachra is going on the neck. The neck area of the Mi'il was Masa Orek. It was Kifi Sachra, and there's a special prohibition of Lo Yikorea, don't go rip the neck. Why is the Torah giving enormous significance to the neck area of the Mi'il? There's something obviously very significant. And then we learned over here on the bottom, they're going to be these Rimoinim. We learned these interesting things. It's going to be a pomegranate that looks like a chicken egg. Really? A pomegranate, one of Shach. If it's a pomegranate, so that's enough. A pomegranate, Rashi says, that looks like a chicken egg. What? Where did Rashi get a chicken egg from? And it's made from three materials, no linen. Techeilis, Agam Tlashani, doesn't say there's going to be any kisna, no linen. Al Shlof Saviv, and they're going to be bells. And where are the bells? Next Pasuk says the bells are going to be etzloi, next to the pomegranates, not inside the pomegranates. And what's the purpose? The purpose is v'nishma koyle v'lokoydesh lofnei Hashem, or we'd say so in v'lo yomus, going on the garments, not on the bells. Okay, so these are some of the yisoidas that we learned today. Baruch Hashem for coming to learn with me today. Otherwise, I would never pay attention to almost anything over here. I'll just read the Pesukim Nochemol and just go to sleep. Thank you very much, Rabbi Sai.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Good night. Heshi, you still there, Heshi?
Yeah.
I'm not going to be here tomorrow night.
Okay, thank
okay,
you.
Okay, so probably, I'll listen to Mayevsky, we'll see. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much, Zagazin. I get to
know. Good night, Mayor.
Good night. Good night. Ask Rappaport again.
I will.